Hello and welcome to another edition of The Tech Teachers. I'm Ray, a physics teacher.
And I'm Holly, and I teach Spanish.
And this is show number 71, and we are doing a show in back-to-back weeks, thank goodness.
Yes.
Finally, it's been a long, long time.
Yes.
To get more information on everything we talk about on this week's show, you can check out our blog at thetechteachers.blogspot.com. And this show will focus, as all of them try to, on technology and education and where they overlap.
Also, email us at rayandholly@gmail.com. Holly is spelled H-O-L-L-Y-E.
All right. So what do we have up this week?
Well, first I'd like to say somebody did comment about digging our show.
Okay.
Dig.com is a place where people post different stories.
News stories, podcasts, kind of videos.
Right. Yeah.
So user submitted.
Right. If you want to dig our show on that website, you have to sign up for an account there and click on podcasts and you can search for the Tech Teachers.
And there's two for some reason. Did you see that?
Yeah, I saw that.
Mm-hmm. So if you're digging the one that's less popular, please dig the one that's more popular as well.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
Because that way it'll get us up on the front page. We're always just a couple away from the front page on the podcast for education. Yes.
If you want to help us out. Also, yep. On our blog, the techteachers.blogspot.com, to the right is a little button that you can click. It'll take you there to dig.
Yes. So if you go to
the Tech Teachers podcast.
On the right, you can see that. And you can also see the stories that I've recently dug. Although sometimes I go in spurts. Like all of a sudden I'll dig like 8 stories 1 week and nothing for a couple weeks.
Right.
And then I'll, 8 stories. And
I dropped off for a few months.
Yeah. Well, you should put yours on there too. We could have the stories Holly has recently dug on there as
yes,
well.
Yes. I will do that.
Okay. Something to look for in the future then. And join our Frapper map if you'd like. There hasn't been too much activity there in a while. I check in every once in a while and see who's been added and where they're at and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So
yes. Well, one thing that probably happened this week for your students was Halo 3 came out.
Yes. So when was that? Let's see. Last Tuesday?
Yeah, Tuesday, October
2nd. So this 2nd. Is Sunday, October 7th when we're recording this. On Tuesday, October 2nd,
mm-hmm.
if you had students absent, they may have been home playing a video game all day long and not saying what they were doing. Yes.
Not that either of us did that because we really didn't.
I was there. No.
Yes, I was there too.
We didn't even buy Halo until 3 or 4 days later, right?
Right.
We weren't in any hurry at all.
Yeah.
But for this generation coming up now, Halo is a really, really big deal.
Right.
So it was Halo 3. It's an Xbox 360 game.
It's a big buzz right now.
Yeah. That's the hot game, and it's the newer console. So a lot of people even bought consoles just to play this game.
Right.
And the consoles, the cheap version of the consoles are like, over $200 or between $200 and $300. And then there's a tiering depending on how many features and stuff. But
right.
There was also even a special edition released with a helmet and all that was over $100. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people bought that too. So people are into it beyond just playing the game. They want to collect the stuff. And yeah, it's a first-person shooter. For those who don't know, you're basically shooting aliens from a first-person perspective. Or when you're playing online collaboratively, you can shoot aliens together. Or you can go head-to-head and shoot each other.
Which yes, is both are fun.
Yes. It is. We bought it. Heads up, if you have a Costco membership, it's $50 at Costco for the regular edition instead of $60 everywhere else. But it's fun. Right. It's one of those games that you get it because, for us anyway, the reason we got it is because everybody else gets it and there's lots of people to play, including both our brothers.
Yes.
So.
Mine's like 25 and yours is 14.
Yeah.
So it spans a pretty big age range. All right. Today we are going to give a couple of tips on your computer and then also
Windows and Mac people.
Okay. talk about a product that is a lot of fun to use and then advanced.
Completely not related to education or technology.
No,
not
but it's
really.
Just
it's
fun.
Just a gadget.
Right. And then finally, talking about advanced students in
it's
your
class.
It's
not even a gadget, it's a kitchenware.
Right. But before we get into that, a couple of people have commented on the blog about online quiz software, which is something we talked about last show 70.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you for that. A couple of those comments said like Kia or Quizstar as online quiz software.
And I haven't had a chance to check it out yet, but I will.
Right. So look at the blog for comments and read those. Try those out. Those suggestions from other
I think both
listeners.
Of one they're both pay now, correct?
I think I'm not real sure.
I can't remember.
I used Quizstar when I was student teaching.
One of them was free, and now it's some very small amount.
Yeah.
So.
Right.
All right.
Okay, so first up, is this a Mac thing?
Oh, we should say that you're not feeling well.
Right, I do have a cold.
Holly's a little sleepy. She's got a cold.
I'm okay, though. I'll live.
You're okay. All right.
I'm teaching tomorrow, so.
Okay.
Got to amp up for that.
All right, so up first, which, what do we got?
Active words.
Okay, so a long time ago I talked about, I can't remember the name of it now. Oh, Quicksilver for the Mac, where I, you know, hit keys and type things in, it launches programs and all that. And you wanted to know about something like that for Windows.
Right.
And I found something, but it costs money.
So this is called, for Windows only? Or?
Yes, this is for Windows only. It's called ActiveWords, but they have a free 60-day trial. So if you want to launch programs just by typing, you know, three letters on your keyboard, mm-hmm. you know, this is the kind of program that lets you do that. So you don't have to ever touch the mouse.
Okay.
And you've seen me do it, like where I hit this and then I, you know, I do this and I type, blah, 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 and the things pop up.
Touching the mouse is really hard to do.
It slows you down. Especially if something's buried five menus deep. Think, you know what I'm talking about. Think about the start menu, you go to programs, then you go into another folder, then you go into another folder, and you finally find that file or that program that you launch three times a day. It's a lot quicker just to hit three keys and have it come up.
I don't know. I mean, I think the ones that I use the most often, I already have a shortcut on my desktop, so it's to launch the program.
It's still sometimes if you have a bunch of other windows open, you got to minimize them or you got to show desktop.
Okay. Point taken on that.
It can be quicker. It can be quicker. So
basically, is this for like power users?
Yes. This isn't for somebody that just surfs the web and checks their email.
Right.
This is for somebody that does three different things at once, you know, or just finds themselves spending a long time moving the mouse around or going in, you know, down three folders to find something.
Yeah.
So check it out. It's got a 60-day free trial. I've never used it. I've read some reviews on it, and it seems to be an okay one. So
okay. Good.
All right. For Mac users, Text Expander, $30, and Jump Cut, something that's free. If you find yourself writing the same text over and over again, like I do when I do our RSS feed, right? I copy and paste, and I do the same thing like five, six times.
Or could it be like a response to an email?
Yes, or it could be a standard response to an email, or even your signature on an email.
Right.
Or, you know, your signature on an email versus maybe your signature on a letter or whatever, like the automated thing that you want to go on there. Now, you can do some of this stuff within programs, but the Text Expander lets you do it anywhere, no matter what program you're in, and it's $30. So if you find yourself using the same little snippets of text over and over again, this is a easy way to do that without having to do a bunch of clicks.
What, to store them on some sort of like clipboard virtually, or
And then it just, I don't know exactly how it does it, but you start to type in like your three letters, like maybe thanks, and you get the automatic thank you email that you send out to people, and it just spits it up there, and you don't have to do any clicking. Once again, it's just keyboard. So it's like, you know, maybe you do TKS and it gets a little standard thank you for blah 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 blah. You know, whatever. So something
that's
like
nice.
So something like that. It is $30. What I use, because I don't do a whole, I don't need that many different things. Usually when I'm trying to insert text over and over again, I've just done it and I just need to do it a couple more times. I need like three or four things. I'm going to keep pasting them and then I'm done.
Right.
Until like the next week when I do the show or the next time I work on some project. So I use something called Jump Cut, which is free, which isn't as powerful, but it allows me every time I copy something up to like, you know, 15, 20 things. Here, I can show you on my screen. I click on the scissors. Right. See all that stuff?
Yes.
That's all stuff where I've hit, there's like 10 things on my screen and I've hit edit copy and it holds on to a bunch of things. So it's just a, you know, it's an improvement for the clipboard.
Yes.
Windows users, I think automatically now it keeps like three or four things that you can, I forget, up, maybe it is up to 10 on Windows users. But for Mac, this is a really nice way to do it. And then you can just paste, you know, something from 5 times ago that you copied.
Okay.
So check it out, Jump Cut. I like it, and I actually do use it quite a bit. So
why would you use the Text Expander that costs money? Is that a souped-up version?
Well, yeah, well, no, that's much, much more powerful because this isn't going to remember something that I put in 6 months ago.
Okay.
Whereas Text Expander, and it also I have to actually click on here to put the stuff in where I can't. Right. I can't just write like TKS.
Gotcha.
Okay, and it's only going to save a certain number of things.
Okay.
Okay. So anyway, very good. So a couple of quick hitters for Mac users and for Windows users.
Yes. Now for the fun little gadget.
Yes. It's not really a gadget, I would say. It's a fun thing.
It's just an electronic item. That's
kind of. The only thing that's electronic about it is the motor.
You're right. That's
it's basically
true.
Not really what I would consider a gadget or an electronic item because all it has is a motor, and that's it.
But if you like to eat ice cream, you'd love it.
Yes.
It's basically, it's an ice cream maker.
And it's not quite soft serve, not quite hard serve.
No,
it's
but somewhere you can in the make middle. It, you can make it harder or softer.
Yes, but you can't make it like true soft serve ice cream.
Right.
But it's somewhere in the middle, but it tastes good.
Yes.
So anyway, you want to explain what it is?
Right. It's Cuisinart is the brand name that we have, and it's Ice 45 is the model. But basically what you do is you mix up your own recipe of whatever kind of ice cream you want, and then you pour it in the top, and you have this bowl that's already frozen from your freezer. Pour it in the top, flip to the on switch, and about 15-20 minutes later, you have ice cream ready to...
And it's got a serve thing, so you pull the handle and it comes out.
Right.
And it's got mix-in things where you pull the thing and it puts toppings on it for you as you pull the handle.
Right.
Not truly mixed into the ice cream, but toppings. It's like a little toppings holder. And the thing is, it's really, really good if you use all the ingredients they suggest.
Yes.
So if you follow the recipes in there to the letter, it is unbelievably delicious.
Yes.
If you skimp or try to make it healthier, it very quickly turns into...
No, I don't necessarily agree with you on that.
Not so good.
Do
you remember
agree.
The sorbet? The sorbet incident.
Okay, fine, but...
We couldn't even eat it. It was so bad. So
we threw that one out. Yes,
so,
well... I mean,
so a word of caution, if you want fattening ice cream that's really, really rich and good, like you'd go and get it at a Cold Stone or a Baskin-Robbins or whatever,
right.
Except not hard, like a softer version of
yeah.
that. Unless you want it to be hard, which you can put it in the freezer and do that, you
yeah,
can
it
make it at home.
Very nicely
you
hard.
Can make it at home, and it's really really good. And it's kind of
fun. Yeah,
it's fun.
You that was like the first time I'd really seen you in the kitchen mixing
hey.
Something.
No, I've made stuff in the
yes,
kitchen,
you've made
but yes, it's probably the first time I've done significant mixing of
right.
ingredients.
Well,
and it is fun.
Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah, it's fun. So this was my
birthday gift
from you.
Yes.
So,
mm-hmm.
yeah. So it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
We've used it, I'd probably say, what, 5 or 6 times? No, 3 or 4 times?
Yeah, I'd say so.
3 or 4 times? So we've already gotten our money's worth out of it. They're
yes.
not real expensive, and there's a wide variety of these out here. This one, I'd recommend it.
We're taking a break, though, from it
yes.
Because we'd like to watch our waistlines right now.
It's a lot of calories.
It is
a lot of calories.
It's really good, but...
And it gives you an idea how many calories are in the stuff at Baskin-Robbins, and
right.
yeah, it's
well,
bad for you. So, but anyway, but it's fun. It's
yeah.
fun.
Every
That's
so
important.
Often as a treat.
Yes. Okay.
All right, let's move on into...
Education
topic, yes. This week we'd like to talk about your advanced students in your classroom and things that we do with our students.
First thing I do is I have on my desk, okay, this is not tech related, but on my desk I have a long line of books.
I do as well.
That are
on a shelf.
And
yeah.
some of them are, that anybody could read. Some of them are my college textbooks.
I have some of my college textbooks there as well.
Yeah. So the kids that really know what's going on, they get done early, and I see them just sitting there. I'll throw one at, well, I won't throw, but I'll take one of these books over and open it up to a page and say, hey, read this. And I'd
and
say
short chunks. Of
yeah, the short chunks of information. So in particular, I'm thinking the ones I show them the most are Clouds and Glass of Beer and What Light 300 Window Breaks, which are both excellent science books. Couldn't recommend
yes.
them more for anybody out there that's teaching a high school science class. These are amazing books. And I just open up to one of the articles, and it explains one little thing about something related
topic.
To physics or atmospheric science. And 9 times out of 10, the kid will read it.
Right.
So that's good.
Mm-hmm.
So and it's at a fairly high level, and it's not necessarily something we're doing in class, but it certainly relates to the class that we're in.
Yes.
So that's the first thing I do, the easiest thing that anybody can do, no matter what limited tech. Just have lots of books on your topic.
Well, yes, that's true, and that's even for students that I wouldn't say are necessarily advanced, but maybe have finished a little earlier than everybody else.
I'm assuming if they finished early, they're advanced.
Mostly, that's true.
Yeah,
I would agree.
Or they just don't want to work, and you throw this in front of them, and this is more difficult than the homework.
Yes,
so then they
exactly.
very quickly go and do their homework. They'll be like, wow, this is tough to read. This is making me think.
Yes.
I better do my homework.
Right. Yeah,
so.
Absolutely. Well, and I do like long assignments or short assignments, extra little things that they can do. I say assignment, but like I'll hand them, and this is, again, is not tech related, but I'll hand them a poem in Spanish. That already has questions at the bottom, and some of them just love that, like a short story or something. And my native speakers, I have them reading books in Spanish, entire books.
That's definitely advanced, so that's good.
Right.
So we're definitely catering to the to the advanced student with the reading.
Yeah, because I feel horrible.
And that's easiest thing to do. The easiest thing to do. And I would say, now this depends on the classroom setting and the teacher and their style. But when I have a student that I know is acing the tests, acing the quizzes, and getting all the homework problems right, mm-hmm. I don't even, you know, if they've figured it out, even during, like, if I'm talking, I'll let them read. Yeah. Like, they can sit there and read something else. You know, it doesn't even have to be physics. Just let them continue to read and push themselves. Don't make them do something that
is... Yes, absolutely. I have lots of choices they could choose from. Yes.
Now, sometimes, you know, it depends on the student. It depends on what they're reading as well. But generally, there's always one or two kids in physics that will spend half the time when I'm lecturing. I do a little lecture every day, mm-hmm. just about, except for activity and lab days. But I don't care if they read. If they got it, go for it. Now, sometimes other kids see this and are wondering, you know, like, is that disrespectful or something? And it's not. They get it because the kids know who the excelling students are in the class. So they know that they're able to get away with it because, mm-hmm. you know, they know what's going on.
Right.
So, and then there'll be times when I say, okay, everybody needs to tune in. Even if you got this, you need to tune in. This is something that you didn't get, no mm-hmm. one got type mm-hmm. of thing. So. Right. Do you let your students do that?
No, not at all. Well, first of all, I do have middle schoolers, so that's not necessarily, I think, something they can handle on a maturity level.
They wouldn't be. They wouldn't probably be able to even come back to you from their book when you say, tune in, okay, everybody needs to listen. They'd be so engrossed.
Well, that's hard for everybody, including me. You know, I would rather continue doing what I'm doing.
Yes, but, yeah.
Right.
Okay.
But, I mean, you don't really have to motivate a lot of – I mean, some of the advanced students, they don't want to have anything to do with these little extra snippets that I give out. You know, like little extra little mini lessons even, you know, that I'll hand out. But a lot of them, they just love learning. So they'll go on ahead and
do it themselves.
What about – do you have any tech-related extra things that you do for advanced students?
Working on it. It's a work in progress.
Yes, me too. Yes.
Because I have the 7 computers in the room now with network connections, and I have iTunes on them, and I have a Real Media Player or something that will play Real Media Player files on it. So I can basically get content, pretty much put any content of video or audio on there, and it'll play.
Oh, okay. I'm so jealous.
So, cool. And there are speakers, and you can plug headphones in as well. Mm-hmm. So I've only had one time so far that I've been able to send a student back to check something out. Mm-hmm. And guess what I had them watch? Got thoughts?
I have no idea.
A podcast. Oh. I had them watch or a vidcast. I had them watch part of an episode of System. Unfortunately, the one that I wanted them to watch wasn't there. I hadn't put on the network yet. Mm-hmm. But I had them watch another one, and they found it interesting. So I think that if you have computers in your room or can have computers in your room, I think podcasts and vidcasts on your topic – or that relate directly to your topic, you know, as long as you've watched them or listened to them, are perfect.
Ones, though, that you've subscribed to in that version of iTunes?
No. So I've actually just gone out and got the file. The only reason I have iTunes on there, I can't subscribe to podcasts on there, and it doesn't have network access to the outside world. But I can put files on the network, and then they can access it via the iTunes and play it.
Okay, so these are podcasts that you've already chosen for them.
Yes, I've
hand-picked.
No, they don't get to go out and
they
subscribe.
They can choose among what you've chosen.
Yes, basically, yeah. Okay. I've hand-picked it.
That's good.
Now, I've only done this once. but I'm planning on expanding that a little bit more. So, any thoughts on that? You think it's good, bad?
No, I think that's great. Yeah. I think it's just an extra, you know, like I said, a little snippet of something. And it might interest them in something they didn't know anything about before.
Yeah.
So, I think that's great.
In addition to the podcast and vidcast, something along that line, most colleges now have either video lectures online, audio lectures online, or actual course materials online, even tests and stuff like that, old tests.
Right.
So if, you know, you have a very advanced student, you can basically send them off to college already, you know?
Yeah.
You can get them prepped, you know, in your subject area. It's great in the sciences in physics in particular, because what MIT has done, which I've mentioned again and again and again, the open courseware, mm-hmm. where I can have them watch, they can start to see lectures from what they will certainly have something very similar in their first semester of calculus-based physics in college.
Yeah.
So, and that's something I will plan on doing with several students, either during physics or certainly during AP physics, because I give them more time to work on the problems, so the advanced kids get done and have a lot of time in AP physics.
Now, you wouldn't have been able to do any of that, though, before when you didn't have computers in your
room,
correct?
No, because
I don't have any.
Because I'm not going to go check out 2 laptop carts for maybe, you know, the 10 minutes that one student will have a chance to work with them and tie them up from another teacher. But with computers permanently in the room, Right. It's a different story.
Yeah, that's nice.
No, the only thing is, it's like anything else. It takes a while to get up and running. Like, I don't have the content. I don't have it on the network yet. So I've got to do some work to get it so it's there.
Yeah.
So I still haven't really... I've been so busy and swamped with other things.
Streamline that process.
I haven't made it happen really yet, other than a quick little test with one student and, like I said, the couple episodes of System.
Right.
So, which they were on... I was hoping to show them the one on how they made circuit boards with the strong acid and all that, but that wasn't the one I ended up showing. But anyway.
Yeah.
It was something on microcontrollers, but it was still related.
Right.
Thoughts on the college stuff?
I think that's great. Yeah. Why not?
I think the only thing I worry about is if it's over their head.
Turn them off to it, you mean?
Yeah. Or.
Oh, good point.
Or will they get scared of, you know, like, I didn't understand all that. I understand everything in this class, but I see something from college and I don't quite get it all. You know, I don't think the really high students would be intimidated by that, but you never know. Right. You never know.
That's a good point.
But the one good thing is that I do, in fact, I'm doing this tomorrow. I do show them basically a college lecture on Momentum that they can follow almost all of it and be like, hey, this is what engineers at MIT are learning.
Right.
I'm like, you guys already understand this. Okay. You can follow along and follow this guy's demos and his logic and everything. Minus the calculus, you understand. Most of them will be able to follow everything that the guy talks about.
Right.
So well, that helps them, I think.
It's important for them to have some bit of success, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Any other independent learning ideas?
Yes. Independent learning through animations here on our rundown. This would be for students that are struggling too. There's lots of like little games and animations of ideas in physics and in science that you can send them to the websites.
Yeah.
And I use Delicious. I have a, in fact, anybody could go check it out, I guess. It's the Delicious /del.icio.us/physics class. I have all my links there that I've ever given to the kids. And some of them die or switch to something else or whatever. But I have all my links there. And I put up like links to animations and stuff like that where they can go play with the concepts.
Right.
So without having to get out, you know, like, okay, here's an inclined plane and a, you know, or here's a rocket or here's whatever.
Oh, yeah.
But they can play with it in software instead.
Nice.
So.
Well, I have lots of Spanish websites.
But you don't have computers in your room.
But I don't have computers in the room. So occasionally I'll have a day where they, you know, earn some time on the computer. And we'll go to the computer lab and there's, you know, there's fun Spanish sites that they like to go to. But, you know, I don't have one in the room.
If there's any teachers out there that do teach anything with gravitational forces, the Space Penguin game is a ton of fun. Kids love it. I let them play it for about 15 minutes. We'll put a link to it. It's not usually blocked at schools because it's an educational site. So, right. But it's this fun game where you launch this guy and he goes into orbits and you try to get him to a spaceship. Kids love it.
Yes.
Even the high schoolers, juniors and seniors love this game. So, okay. Anything else? You got any games that you are fun websites to give out for Spanish?
I have a lot of them. I can
put them in the show notes.
Yeah. I have a Delicious site with a lot of them up, so I'll put it in the show notes.
Okay, so your Delicious site and mine will be in the show notes for our subject areas. And if there's other teachers out there using Delicious for their class, like, and they have a bunch of resources for great websites for not necessarily Spanish or physics, but, you know, biology, math, whatever, if you've got those in one spot, post it to the blog or send us an email and we'll post it to the blog for you.
Yes.
So, all right.
Yeah, well, this is a work in progress. I keep trying to come up with good ideas to entice my advanced students into learning more, I'd say.
Yes. All right. Super Mario Physics is another fun one. It's an animation that somebody did for a project, but it's a ton of fun. If you're teaching speed of sound or types of waves, longitudinal, transverse, great video clip, about 5-6 minutes long.
Okay.
It's not a game, but we got anything. Oh, research. Almost forgot. Just let them, if they're interested in like aerospace engineering, say, okay, you've got 20 minutes. Go look into something about aerospace engineering and report back and teach me. And I'll give you some bonus. I always throw the bonus out there because usually the high achieving students, you know, they like to tie it to points somehow.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But just throw it out there and say, hey, what are you interested in? You know, what have you, what would you like to go into more depth? Well, go do it, you know, and then, you know, keep an eye on them. But assuming that this is only one or two students, that shouldn't be too hard, right? I have the computer screens pointed so that I can walk around the room and quickly see what they're up to. So
very good.
All right.
All right. I think that's...
Yep. That's about it?
Yeah.
Sorry, I cut you off.
No.
We'll also put, I think we'll put Fred's promo on the show one more time. So if you haven't heard, we're doing a show with Fred Hasse, a meteorologist, called the Did You Know Show, where we talk about science topics weekly. And we're on, we'll be putting out show 3 very soon and recording show 5, I think. So we got some in the bank.
Very good.
All right. Check out our blog.
At thetechteachers.blogspot.com.
Are you going to make it?
I am like waning here. I like, yes. Have no energy.
It's like, okay, 25 minutes and Holly's gone.
Well, it's only 6 p.m. here, so I don't know.
You need some food.
Yes.
This show wasn't dominated by me because I was talking over. You're just tired.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It's a rarity.
Yeah. So anyway, check out thetechteachers.blogspot.com. And then also, if you'd like to email us, our email address is rayandholly@gmail.com. Holly is spelled H-O-L-L-Y-E. Thank you so much for listening.
Thank you for listening. I'm Ray, a physics teacher.
And I'm Holly, a Spanish teacher.
Until next time. Welcome to the Did You Know Show with your host, Fred Hasse.
I'm ready. Green cloud hail, man. What causes thunder? There's not quite. The truth is that the peak energy in the sun spectrum.
Join Fred Hasse as he debunks science myths and explores science fact. In topics ranging from biology to botany to meteorology and physics. You name it, Fred's going to talk about it on the Did You Know Show with Fred Hasse.